lift up this service to you, God, through the singing of your word and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this: "For our sake, he made him, that is Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You know, there are exchanges we make in life that can have a great impact on us. You might exchange a meaningful gift with a loved one that holds a special place in your heart. It can be a big moment when you buy a house and you exchange your signature for a new set of house keys. Or maybe at a wedding, a daughter exchanges one last name for another. Well, friends, for those who have placed their faith in Christ, an exchange has happened with Jesus. Except in this exchange, all we bring to the table is our sin and guilt. We have nothing to offer Jesus of any value. And yet Jesus brings to the table his righteousness and then his death for us on the cross. So church, when you trust in Jesus, the greatest exchange there ever was takes place, where Jesus, who never sinned, takes on your sin upon himself on the cross, bearing its guilt and punishment, and then we, who only have sin to bring, are given his righteousness, so that when God the Father looks upon us, he sees Christ's righteousness credited to our account. Friends, that is good news worth rejoicing over this morning.
Amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you, or if you can find somebody around you, I invite you to open to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, again, thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for your church at Stony Fork. Thank you that you've brought these people here. Father, we pray for those around the world who do not have the gospel. Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Would you, from our church, raise up more laborers for the harvest? Father, would you equip members here, and would you bring people here that can be equipped to go to the nations to share the gospel? Father, would you raise up other godly men who could be sent out to pastor other churches? Father, we do not want to be about the kingdom of Stony Fork. We want to be about your kingdom. So would you do that work in our church? Father, we pray for those in our church who are grieving losses. Lord, you alone have the comfort that we need. We pray that you would give comfort to families so that they may turn around and comfort others in their affliction. Father, would you make your presence known as we gather with your people, and your presence known when they're alone. Father, we pray for our events coming up at the end of the summer, our back-to-school bash and our VBS. Father, we are excited to have these opportunities, but we want your gospel to be front and center. And Father, you alone can bear fruit. So would you take our efforts and the gospel that we seek to share, and would you stir in people's hearts to come to faith? Would you teach our children at VBS to know what it is that you have done to save us from sin, that you would draw them to yourself? And Father, as we come now to the time where we hear from your word, this passage, at least for me, Lord, is hard. I pray that you would help us understand it by your Spirit, apply it to our lives, and most of all, look to our Savior. We need you to help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, do we hunger for God above everything else? Do we long for more of God in our life? And how can we find out if our heart actually hungers for God? How can we grow in our hunger for God? Well, this week we're continuing in our series, Christian Habits. We're saying there are disciplines, practices, habits that God has given to us that answers these questions. And the one that we're going to talk about today is fasting. Fasting. Fasting is not trying to get God's attention. Fasting is not a hunger strike so that God will do what we want him to do. Here's maybe a definition of fasting from the beginning today. Fasting is temporary abstinence from something we desire. So we put something away. Most often that might be food, as we see from Jesus here. Temporary abstinence from something we desire. It could be food or phone or social media or you name it. Why? To see what is in our hearts and to grow in hunger for God. Fasting is temporary abstinence from something we desire in our day-to-day life to see what is in our hearts and to grow in hunger for God. You know, in our family, yearly labs at the doctor's office are as important as family dinner at Thanksgiving for us. So long as Christina is the wife and mom in our house, then in our family, we will get yearly blood tests whether we feel healthy or not. Friends, I don't like it. It makes me nervous to get poked and prodded, and I start thinking about what can go wrong. I know it's a simple thing, but I start thinking, is this nurse good at sticking veins? What if they miss? How long are they going to leave it in there? What if they mix up my blood test with someone else? Some of you are getting queasy just as I'm talking right now. Now, of course, we may not like it, but these kinds of tests is a good thing to do from time to time. Why? Because blood work tells us something that we cannot see or feel in the day-to-day. The blood test reveals something going on inside of us that we may be unaware of. So we might get the results and realize, oh, my cholesterol is getting a little high. Or, oh, I'm low in iron, or whatever the case may be. And without those regular tests, we might not know what is going on inside until it is too late and the damage is done. So thank you, Christina. Fasting in the Christian life serves as the regular testing ground in our lives. It is the blood test that reveals what is going on inside our hearts so that we can confess that to God and grow then in our hunger for him. And if we are honest this morning, if I am honest this morning, reading the Bible as a daily habit is probably something we right? We know we need God's word. Prayer as a daily habit is something we can get behind. We all know we want to pray more. But fasting, taking away food or phone that we desire, that is a different deal. And I believe of all the habits that God has given to us to do, certainly of the four that we're talking about in this series, fasting is the most challenging one. But I hope what we will see today from the example of Jesus is that fasting, while painful for a moment, yields great reward in our relationship to God. So maybe today, if you've never thought about fasting in your life, you'd be encouraged to consider it. And maybe if you have fasted in your life, you're encouraged to fast again. But there's no greater example to look to, I think, than our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would, look with me at Matthew 4, again in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I'd say so. That might be an understatement. He was hungry. Well, let's set some context for where we are in the book of Matthew. Here in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to cast out demons. He's going to proclaim the kingdom of God. And ultimately, he's going to bring salvation to sinners like us. But the road, the ministry that Jesus will walk, is not an easy road. The road is hard. And Jesus will walk the road of suffering all the way to the cross. But before that ministry begins, in chapter 3 of Matthew, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And if you remember that story, the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And then, the first thing the Spirit does in the life of Jesus is lead him into the wilderness, we see here, to be tempted or tested by the devil. That's a curious first step to a ministry. Like if you were going to plant a church, you might establish a home base, find a building where you're going to meet. You might raise some funds. You might even start preaching. But you probably wouldn't expect the first qualification for ministry to be, have you spent time alone in the wilderness yet? But that's exactly where the Spirit leads Jesus before he ever gets to his public ministry. Why? Why must Jesus go through this testing? Well, I think the answer is found in the similarities between the testing of Jesus here in Matthew 4 and the testing of Israel all the way back in the book of Exodus. Do you remember that story? In that story of God's people in Exodus, God brought Israel out of Egypt. He brought them through the waters of the Red Sea. Then he led them into the wilderness to be tested with hunger for 40 years. Well, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is led out of Egypt. He passes through the waters of baptism. And then here in chapter 4, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested, and he fasts for 40 days. You see the similarities in these two stories. Here in Matthew 4, Jesus is taking the same test that Israel took all those years ago. So what kind of test was this? Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's when Israel was still in the wilderness. In that book, Moses gives his last few sermons to the people before they enter into the promised land. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 about what kind of test Israel faced in the desert. This is what he says. "And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you," and here's the test, "testing you to know what was in your heart." God tested Israel in the wilderness with hunger to see what was inside. Let me just apply this to us for one second. Are we willing to let God examine our hearts? The truth is, he knows what's inside. But will we let God and his word and fasting reveal what is inside us so that we can confess that to God and grow more in our hunger for him? Will we have that kind of humility? In the Exodus story, Israel is tested to see what's inside, and Israel fails the test. Their hearts were shown to be sinful and rebellious. But Jesus, here in Matthew 4, Jesus took the same test. The difference is where Israel failed, Jesus triumphed. You see, I think what we learn from Israel is that when humanity's heart is laid open on the table, it's not good. There's sin in our hearts. There's evil. There's idolatry in our hearts. But what we learn from Jesus in Matthew 4 is that we have a perfect Savior whose heart is pure, who can save us from the sin in our hearts. He did what Israel could never do. He did what we could never do. His heart was laid open before all through testing, and it was righteous. It was a pure and full love for his Father in his heart. So church, first and foremost, when it comes to our fasting, it is only because of Jesus that our fasting can be pleasing to God and bear any fruit in our lives. See, when we fast, our hearts are laid open, and it will always reveal some level of sin. In some sense, we always fail the test. But Jesus passed the test for us and then died on the cross for our failure. So because of Jesus and by placing our faith in him, when we fast, it is a way to test our hearts, yes, but then it's a way to hunger more for our Savior. And that is the point. To become like Jesus by being with Jesus. And that is what fasting does. Jesus was tested in the wilderness for us. And before he was ever tempted by Satan, as we'll see in a minute, he fasts for 40 days. Verse 2 again. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. By fasting, Jesus put himself in a test to see and confess what was in his heart. And then when the tempter comes in a moment, what was in his heart will come out. And so what we'll see is that Jesus, in his hunger, faces a three-question test, if you will. And so when we fast, as we follow Jesus' example, we put ourselves through that same three-question test that we're going to see. And when we hunger on purpose, when we see what's in our heart, we develop a hunger for God, and then we are prepared for the testing of our faith when it happens in our life. You know, in most sports, before you play an actual game, at least in team sports, the team will have a scrimmage, right? So either the team splits in two and they play a game against themselves, or you play a game against another team, but it doesn't actually count towards the season. And that scrimmage is really valuable because it lets you see how good or bad the team is. It lets you evaluate where they are, and then you can make adjustments if you need to. And it can, for the team, stir up a hunger to play in the real game. Well, friends, fasting is that scrimmage. It grows our hunger for God and shows us what's in our heart. So when life tests us, when the devil tempts us, we know what's there and we long for Jesus. So let's see how Jesus triumphed in the test and how we can pursue God through fasting. Question number one on this three-question test: do we hunger for God above all? Do we hunger for God above all? Look at verse 3. So he's been fasting and he's hungry, and it says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Friends, the devil is a master at taking aspects of the truth and twisting them until it becomes like dangerous barbed wire. And so here he says to Jesus, Jesus, you are hungry. Demonstrate your godness Show us your identity as the Son of God and create miracle bread. Surely you can turn these stones into bread. Oh, how sly the devil is here. Because again, this sounds an awful lot like when Israel was being tested in the wilderness and they too were hungry. But in that story, they complained and they grumbled at Moses and at God because of their hunger. And what did God in his grace do? He dropped manna from heaven. Miracle bread to feed the people. So I think in a sense here, Jesus, or Satan, is saying to Jesus, Jesus, just make manna for yourself and you won't be hungry anymore. But again, notice how Jesus responds. Jesus quotes from those same wilderness sermons of Moses. And he says in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In that passage from Deuteronomy that we began reading earlier, Moses continues in that sermon. This is Deuteronomy 8, starting at verse 2, when he says, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And listen to this. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna. Why did he do that? Here's the answer. Which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So follow me for a moment here. God tested Israel with hunger, and he fed them with miracle bread. Why? So that they would trust and love and hunger for God, not just for what God gave or didn't give. And Israel failed that test because they grumbled when God let them hunger, and they forgot about God when he gave them bread. Israel demanded the gift to the neglect of the giver. And so when Satan tempts Jesus here, he wants Jesus in his hunger to long for the gift, for bread from stone, more than he does for his Father in heaven. And in Jesus' answer, he so clearly shows us he hungers more for God than he does for the gifts. One pastor puts it like this: Jesus hungered more for God and God's will than he did for God's wonders. And church, that is what fasting reveals about our hearts. When we fast, we feel a hunger for food or phone or TV or whatever. And in that moment, it forces us to ask, do I hunger for God like this? And when that strong desire for that thing sets in and we feel ourselves wanting it badly, what comes out of our hearts? Is it anger? Bitterness until we have that thing? Is it apathy? We care about nothing else until we can get that thing. Friends, that is our heart laid on the table. And so then we're able to pray while we're hungry. God, I confess, I want phone or food, perhaps too much. Help me to hunger for you and your word more. Because man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We should fast from time to time to become more like Jesus and hunger for God above all. That is the first question that fasting does. Do we hunger for God? Question number two. Do we trust in God above all? Do we trust in God above all? Verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Satan here wants Jesus to test God's love and care and protection of him by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple so that God will send his angels to save him. One commentator puts it this way. I thought this was helpful. He says, when Satan says, throw yourself down, it is the temptation to force the Father to act so that Jesus may know the Father will protect him. And notice even here, Satan quotes from Scripture. So Satan is twisting it again to say, Jesus, do this so that God will prove his word to you. And friends, we're tempted to do this from time to time too, aren't we? God, are you with me or not? Will you help me or not? Well, we either say, or maybe we think in our heads, God, if you love me, you will change my circumstances. God, if you care, if you really care for me, why won't you fill in the blank? Friends, we don't get to put God to the test like that. And you know, Israel, again, did the same thing in the wilderness. Listen to that story in Exodus 17. It says, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So there's their circumstance. They're thirsty. And it says in verse 2, Exodus 17, therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? And then down in verse 7, it says, Moses called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel. And here it is, because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? God, if you are really here, give us some water. And this can happen, friends, when we have been praying for the same thing over and over. Maybe your habit of reading Scripture and praying is a great habit, and you've prayed for the same thing over and over and have not received what you're asking for, and we can be tempted to put the Lord to the test. Do you love me? Then give it to me. But friends, fasting puts the brakes on that temptation. And here, Satan wants Jesus to say the same thing. Father, if you really love me, when I jump, you won't let me fall. But you see here, where Israel failed, Jesus once again triumphed. And he responds by, again, quoting from a passage in Deuteronomy 6. Look with me at verse 7 in Matthew 4. Jesus said to Satan, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus did not need God to prove himself. Jesus trusted his Father above all. He lived by faith. Friends, are we following God in that regard? Do we trust God above all? Or do we expect God to prove himself to us in every circumstance? Beloved, you will not understand every test that God allows you to go through. There will be days, there'll be suffering that happens, there'll be sins that you struggle with. You know the Lord could take it all away, but he doesn't. The question is, based on who you know he is in his word, and what he has done for you in Jesus, will you trust him regardless? Well, fasting is a great tool to help us find out. It will reveal what's in our heart. When we fast from something, if we fast from a meal, we are confessing, God, I trust you above all things, but I feel a pull to trust in these things for comfort, for safety, for love, etc. Lord, I believe you, I trust you, but help my unbelief. Do we trust in the Father above all? Jesus did. And then the final question of the test, question number three. Will we worship God above all? Will we worship God above all? Look at verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now we get to the real conclusion that Satan was after. First, it was, will Jesus long for bread more than God? Then it was, will Jesus demand that God, that his Father prove himself? And finally here, it's, will Jesus bow to Satan for all the world's kingdoms and the world's pleasures? And Jesus, one more time, quotes from Deuteronomy when he says in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Do you remember when Israel was in the wilderness and they were waiting on Moses to come down from the mountain where he was with God, and their sinful hearts couldn't help themselves? They had to worship something. And so they had Aaron fashion a golden calf. And they cried out to it, to the God who brought us out of Egypt. And they bowed down and worshiped an idol. And friends, we may not worship a golden calf today, but our sinful heart is prone to worship anything that feeds our desires. We can fashion an idol out of food or our phone or our family or our job or hobbies, you name it. And our worship will be tested when something in this world holds up an answer, a fulfillment to our desires. Just like Satan, you can have all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down. Or maybe you can find comfort finally in this food. You can find status among others in this job. You can find pleasure in this phone. And before you know it, we worship that thing that promises to fulfill our desires. So how can we see what idols are in our hearts so that we may worship God above all? One way is fasting. For a moment or for a meal, put away things that we crave and see how strong the tug on our heart is. And friends, in all of these temptations, Satan urges Jesus to take the easy way. No hunger, no pain or suffering, and ultimately, no cross. But Jesus knows that is not the way to save sinners, and that is not the path to glory. Only through this testing, and through his suffering, and through his death, will salvation for sinners come to us, and the joy of his resurrection come. And so Jesus did not give in to Satan, but triumphed through fasting and through testing. In church, the path is the same for us. There is no Uber to glory. We have to walk the long and narrow way. We have to follow Jesus. And we have to walk through testing. But if we will look to Jesus, if we will trust him along the way, friends, the reward is worth it. Yes, fasting is a test. Yes, it reveals our hearts and sometimes shows us what it shows up is messy. But the best part about fasting is that God meets us there. Notice what happened to Jesus in verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Friends, when we fast, we step into the wilderness for a moment. And our hunger and cravings start to kick in, and then God sees and meets us there so that we are satisfied not in those things, but in him. Where our prayer, where we want to hunger for you, God, we want more of you, is answered because he comes to us by the Holy Spirit. Friends, today, do you hunger for God? Do you want more of God? Forget about fasting for a moment. Is your heart longing for God or longing for things of this world? If there is no hunger for God in your heart, friend, I hope, I pray you would hear these words and God would open your eyes and you would turn to him and trust in him to save you. This world will promise to fulfill your desires and it will let you down. But God is an everlasting feast. Friends, would you be willing, Christians, to fast and grow in hunger for God? If so, here's a place to start. Start small. Fast maybe from one meal, or maybe several hours in a day without a phone or social media or whatever it is that can tug on your heart. And then replace that meal with a passage from Scripture, with verses to chew on while you're hungry. Read them during the fast. Meditate on them. Maybe memorize a verse or two. Plan to pray during that time. When you're hungry, tell it to God. Ask him to help you hunger for him like that. Ask God to stir in our hearts. Friends, I pray we would be a church who above all things hungers for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, fasting is hard, and I confess I've been so lax in a practice of fasting. Father, I pray that you would stir in our hearts to practice that so that we may long for you, that we won't get caught up in the desires of the world. We would come to you to fill us. Father, we pray that you would help us, that we would worship you and trust in you and long for you above all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. I pray we would hunger for God above all. Let me leave you with this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.